Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Congratulations, gentlemen, and welcome to the Sekai Taikai. We just need your dojo's name.
We are Miyagi-Do.
And we are Eagle Fang.
So what's the point?
Well, which is it?
To be honest, it's not just one or the other. We represent two opposing philosophies coming together and finding a common ground when none seem possible.
That's right. If I can change, and you can change, everybody can change. Now he gets it.
I do.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
And this is Cobra Kai Cast.
This week, we're covering Cobra Kai Season 5, Episodes 7 and 8, Bad Eggs, and Taikai.
Taikai. And then we're going to be doing the next one in a few days, and we're going to be done already.
Yeah, I know, man.
It's really went by fast, right?
10 episodes. Twice per podcast. Yeah, it was only five times, huh?
Yeah, it just seems like it went by even faster this time.
Yeah, for some reason, it does seem faster this time, for some reason. I don't know why.
Did you listen to last week's?
Yeah, I was listening to it on the way home. It was cool.
She was. Oh, Erica was good, huh?
Yeah, Erica was awesome.
She's a big fan. But glad you're back. And now we're going to talk about, as you said, Cobra Kai, Season 5, Episode 7 and 8, Bad Eggs, and Taikai. So, what'd you think of last week's episodes, Rich?
Dude,
you called in.
Yeah, they were pretty awesome. Like this week's episodes, for example, were cool, but I don't think they're gonna be those last two.
It's hard.
I mean,
to
that was an emotional roller coaster. It had everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. If not for last week's episodes, I probably would have liked these ones better. But I liked them. I thought they were a little formulaic, but but they were good and. Yeah, cool. What about you, Rima?
Well, after coming off last week's two episodes, I'm kind of of the same mind. I didn't not like these two episodes, but they weren't my favorite, especially episode 8, I guess, was a little bit more of a, I don't know, I guess I have a little bit more nitpicks with that one. Mm-hmm. But after coming off of the two last week, it was like, I'm like, oh, darn. Just wanted them to kind of keep that same level.
Everything else is going to be anticlimactic now, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think last week's episodes were some of the best of the series, and these two were a little below average, so it makes the gap seem even bigger, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, these were good. Chosen carried it for me on episode 7. He was pretty good. He was great. And then the mini tournament with Hawk and Kenny and...
Yeah.
Samantha and, is it Devon? Devon?
Devon.
Devon. Fights. Mm-hmm. They were short, but that's good, you know, because I think that's appropriate as we've kind of been there, like we just said, you know, been there, done that. But
but they were good.
Damn, that ref was pissing me off.
He wasn't too subtle about his cheating. He keeps looking over at Terry, like nodding.
No, yeah. It's terrible.
It's good, right, boss? Right?
I was like, you asshole.
You got that? You got that? Called that one, right? Yeah,
I got that. All right, well, let's get into it. Rich, why don't you go first, since you were gone?
So, speaking of episode 7, that voiceover right at the beginning, you know, with Daniel, Amanda, Johnny, and Chosen. I like that. Kind of give us an overall perspective of what's going on, you know? Mm-hmm. They were saying, like, I forget who it was. I think Johnny said, if we don't do something now, every kid in the valley is going to have to make a choice. Side with Cobra Kai or feel the pain. And then they made a pretty good argument by dumping, you know, Anthony's head first into that nasty toilet. That was disgusting.
Yeah, it was a poopy toilet. And then later he said they were calling him shithead.
Yeah, everyone's calling him shithead now.
That's not even like funny. That's just, you need like a hepatitis vaccination.
Exactly.
That.
That's every gross. Time I see stuff like that, it's like, you know how many viruses and bacterial infections and diseases you can get from that stuff?
That's really kidding. Gross. I can't believe they actually went there.
Yeah.
But anyways, I get why Daniel, Amanda, Johnny, and Chosen are challenging Silver. I mean, it was a great summary. Who was it that said, to have peace, you must first conquer the world? It was like Genghis Khan or something like that. But I don't think that really translates here, because if Cobra Kai was the only choice, then you just have a bunch of you just have a massive amounts of Kylers and Kennys running around and bullying people. And even if everybody in the world was doing Cobra Kai, they would just, you know, end up fighting amongst themselves for leadership and stuff like that. So.
What would the All Valley tournament be like if... What's a good? Yeah. I mean, the whole valley is Cobra Kai now. So, what's that going to be like when they get there?
It's just them fighting each other to see which dojo is the best.
Yeah.
So it makes sense in this world that we're watching.
Yep. Yeah, I like that how they. I mean, Cobra Kai won as far as taking over the valley, mm-hmm. and there's all these stickers and ads and kids giving away free stuff and
free t-shirts.
They even have taken all the dojos and and man, that's great, because if this whole series is a movie, you want the villain to have really gotten a leg up around this part. Let's say they do one more season or something.
Yeah, it was a pretty good juxtaposition there too when Silver was talking to Kenny about becoming a leader, and he's like, I've seen the best fighters in the valley. And he like names off Robbie, Hawk, and Miguel, and Samantha. And I'm like, oh God, that must really piss him off to have all of these dojos and taking over, but not having the best.
The best ones. Yet. That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Cobra Kai does not. They've got Tori. Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually think that's kind of silly that Kenny is like held up as the fiercest, the poster boy for Cobra Kai. And when Tori doesn't show up for her fight, Devin steps in. They're both relatively inexperienced. If Terry Silver took over all the dojos, there would be better fighters in there probably, mm-hmm. you know, but they're putting up these inexperienced ones. And that's because these are the characters that we know. That's right. Why. So you just kind of have to let it go. And I do think it's kind of cool that Kenny's going to be the one that's like the fiercest Cobra Kai guy. But when you think about it, he hasn't been doing karate that long and it doesn't really make sense. You know, I guess you could say he's a natural, but I don't know. I mean, the tournament is so important that you'd think you could find a more experienced fighter to put up.
Right. I think Silver likes him because he's open to becoming a badass leader. You know, he can be taught the Silver way, you know?
Yeah. He really like the Cobra Kai way is no mercy, aggression, being an asshole basically. And he just naturally does all that. He loves it.
I love being an asshole.
Yeah. So anyway, let's move on to our next, well, not our next point, but Rima, what do you got for your first one?
Well, I'll just tag on to what we were already talking about with about Kenny. I dislike that kid so much, and I recognize that. I think that I felt the same way with Robbie when he was in Cobra Kai, and he was being an asshole. And when Hawk was the asshole and being manipulated by Cobra Kai, you know, I disliked him as well. And now I've softened towards Robbie. I like him a lot better without him carrying around the grudge with Miguel. I feel like it's a lighter version of Robbie, which I like a lot better. And, you know, I've come to really love Hawk.
Robbie's whole vibe is much more appealing now as a good guy. He's just kind of like, hey, what's up, smiley? And it's like, it's easier to be around a guy like that.
I'm definitely tolerating him a lot more without this whole You know, I hate my dad, I hate Miguel, mm-hmm. I hate life hate the world. Everything else. And yeah, I just angry all the time. So I don't know. I'm kind of gearing myself up for some sort of turnaround for Kenny too. But mm-hmm. right now I really, really dislike right. him.
You gotta have someone to hate in the show.
Yeah. And I get it. That's, you know, and Silver has picked the right person. I mean, Kenny is so ripe for this. He's so angry about being bullied. He, you know, and he is tapping right into that. He is just prime for Cobra Kai's manipulation, Terry Silver's manipulations, and his, you know, way of the fist teachings. I mean, he's primed for it. But, you know, Kenny keeps talking about wanting revenge, you know, for like what Anthony did to him as far as the bullying. And I feel like Kenny has paid him back for that.
I know.
You know, Anthony,
revenge do you want?
Well, I think at this point, it's not even about revenge. He's just totally full on like this aggressive Cobra Kai bully, like yeah. some of the others were too. I mean, Anthony has apologized more than once. Kenny got Anthony in trouble at school, which he totally deserved for the pranks and things that he was pulling on him. And then Kenny kicked his ass, which I think Anthony probably deserved. And at this point, Anthony, he's just like stepping back, like at the water park. He's just kind of stepping back and he's like, dude, I don't want any more part of this. You got me. You know, you win.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Sorry.
Yeah. Like, let it go. And, you know, Kenny at this point is, I think, at least as far as karate, I mean, he's definitely stronger than him, even though Anthony's a little bit taller. He's definitely stronger than him. And it should be over. And at this point, it's no longer revenge. It's just bullying now in the other direction. Yeah. And it's like with Kenny, it's like, when can it ever be over? You know, if he thinks of it as still being revenge, you know, it's how long, you know, does this like, how does he feel, or how far does he have to go, I guess, to even those karmic scales, yeah. you know, how long does it have to go on? And mm-hmm. I think at this point, it's just not even revenge anymore. He's just completely motivated, I think, by hatred.
I
don't know.
I think he's one of those kids that, you know, it doesn't matter how much he does. Every time he sees Anthony, he's just going to get it. Upset and angry and want to go kick his ass. You know, he's mm-hmm. just got that mentality.
Yeah. It's like he's got a computer program running and it's just, you know, I mean, I think all bullies are like that and we're all kind of like that to a degree. It's almost like independently of what's happening in your life, if you just have a chip on your shoulder or a fear because you had traumatic experiences. And so you have that fear ingrained in you of other people. And so you know, instead of just giving into it, you, like I've said before, did I say it on this podcast? There's like a few different responses to adversity. There's shrinking away, being scared. There's posturing, you know, being like, armoring up, or there's just, I think this was more on the Better Call Saul podcast, but, or there's just sort of being more open and aware and understanding. And Kenny's in the posturing mode, you know, but he's yeah. really scared mm-hmm. underneath. It's a reaction to having been beat up or whatever, but until he gets some reprogramming, you know, just like some therapy or, you know, gets out of Cobra Kai and
they're enabling him.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, you know, mm-hmm. they told us that his dad's deployed, right? Is that what they said? And then his brother's mm-hmm. in jail.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he's got all that going on.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think, and I hope that at some point Kenny will come around and he'll be a good guy again. But, yeah, you need someone to be like, that kid's an asshole. Like Kyler, I don't know if he'll ever be a good guy.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
he's too far gone.
I bet he will, but I don't know.
Ugh, I don't know.
He never has shown been any even redeeming from qualities, not once.
Since we met him, he's just always been a complete douche.
I almost admire him for that.
Since like episode one of the first season.
Yeah. Like all these
other
kids.
Pretty. Sometimes he says some pretty funny stuff, but he's all posturing. He doesn't even have that much skill, right? I mean, Kenny just kicked his.
Yeah, he's saying I'm number one around here. I'm like, how are you number one?
I was gonna say I've never seen you like up to par with the other fighters. So I don't know. He's just all show.
Yeah,
yeah.
He just seems like the kind of kid who would say that and not be able to back it up.
Yep, all talk.
Anything else about Kenny or any of that?
Not for the moment. No.
Okay, my first one is finding common ground with your adversaries. I have a few different examples. I really liked when Robbie told Kenny that, hey, you and Anthony might actually like each other if you got to know each other. You just need to hash things out. that's like speaking my language. I love that. And I think about Chosen, you know, Sam hugs Chosen after she wins the qualifying tournament.
That was cool.
And it's like, who'd have thought Chosen would be such a good friend of the LaRusso family after Karate Kid 2? That guy, you know?
You would never, ever make any of these connections.
Right? No. Right. If you're watching that back in the day, you'd never see that.
No. But I believe it, you know, I believe it.
Yeah,
he's matured. And Robbie matured. Like, he told Hawk's like, I'll get him, about Kenny. And he's like, don't go too hard on him. You remember what it's like to be in Cobra Kai. That's not Kenny talking, it's Silver. Kind of just what we've been saying, you know. So showing empathy to an adversary, I think, will end up paying off for them. The poster boys for finding common ground are Daniel and Johnny on this show. And here we see an example when the tournament official asks what their dojo name is, and Johnny says, we are Miyagi-Do, and then Daniel's like, and Eagle Fang. It's like, oh. But then they're like, Daniel says it, to be honest, it's not just one or the other. We represent two opposing philosophies coming together and finding common ground when none seem possible. And then Johnny goes, that's right. If I can change and you can change, everybody can change. Which is a quote from Rocky IV.
Rocky IV. I love it so much.
I know. And that reminds me, I still wonder if they're ever going to address how at the end of Karate Kid, when Daniel won, Johnny said, you're all right, LaRusso. Because every detail they address of the movies, you know, but they never really have, like, Daniel should say that. Why'd you say that, you know, or something?
Remember that time?
Because you clearly hated me after that, so what happened?
Maybe his hate and anger towards Kreese was more because of what he was making him do there at the tournament. I don't know.
They kind of have, sort of. I mean, they never really addressed it directly, but haven't they, like, they hung out in a bar, they kind of like each other, and then they don't, and then they like each other, and then they don't.
But he said, you know, all right, man, you're okay. And that's kind of like the end of Rocky IV when Rocky wins and everybody's chanting in Russia, Rocky. I'm like, well, he won. Like, what is that? Like,
but maybe in that moment, you know, you're just admiring. Yeah.
I think it was the respect for the fight that Daniel didn't give up, and, you know.
But then we learn in Cobra Kai that he spent the next 35 years hating Daniel. So that's what my point is. Like, you had that moment, but it's just the moment. And then
it was just a moment.
He woke up like going, a respect. Why did I do that?
Yeah. He's like, gosh, damn it.
Introspection. I hate you.
I love the confrontation between Eli and Hawk and Robbie at Miyagi-Do. Hawk's like, don't talk to me. And he's like, dude, if this is about the Mohawk, I'm sorry. Which I forgot, Robbie cut his Mohawk off at one point.
Yeah.
Anybody knows how Cobra Kai can turn you into an asshole? And Eli's like, so I'm an asshole? Yeah, well, let's see. You attacked me and Sam at the mall. You broke Dimitri's arm. You trashed the entire dojo. And Dimitri's like, guys, enough, all right? You're both ex-assholes. Great. Which is awesome. But then we see that must have done the trick, because later when Johnny is telling Robbie, Miguel, and Eli that we can't decide which one of you is going to be, you know, we're going to put up against Cobra Kai, and maybe we should flip a coin. How would that work? There's three of us. All right, we'll flip three coins. anyway, they say, Miguel and more importantly, Robbie say, well, we decided it's Hawk. He beat me fair and square, Robbie says. So, and Hawk seems pretty touched by that. And oh, wow, it's an honor. So it seems like they're sitting there on the couch together, right? They're friendly, it seems like.
Yeah.
And then Hawk loses.
Sort of.
Hell.
And they cheated again.
Should have picked Miguel.
he used the finger punch
to silver
pluck
bullet
out his heart. Yeah,
plus, I think they kind of hinted he wasn't really trying as hard, Hawk.
Oh, yeah, because he was going easy
on him,
right?
Robbie asked him to
take it easy. That was a mistake. Mm-hmm. after I just said I thought it was good. So then when... Johnny told Miguel he's not going to force him to compete. That was nice. And then Robbie comes up and pretends to be mad that they're talking. And Johnny's like getting defensive. He goes, relax, I'm just messing with you. I like that.
Yeah.
And Johnny's like, yeah, you guys ironed out your shit with the two of you on the same team. We actually have a shot. That was really cool. And then the last one, I thought it's all still under the theme, by the way, of finding common ground with your adversaries. I thought Johnny and Daniel were finding common ground with Kreese.
Yeah.
They go to him in jail, and Daniel's like, I'll give you my lawyer's number if you tell us what Terry's up to, Terry Silver.
Yeah.
And he tells him, and then it says, what does it say?
No mercy, motherfucker.
I was like, that is not cool, guys. What the fuck? What happened to honor?
They found common ground and hating him.
That's fucked up. And then Johnny, of course, loved it. He's like, enjoy rotting in your cell. I'm like, can you imagine Mr. Miyagi ever doing something like that?
Right. He turned over in his grave.
I guess I need to go back and refresh myself on all the horrible things Kreese has done, because I know there's been a lot. But right in that moment, I was like, I thought you were about honor. That is not honorable. Couldn't you have found a different way of getting information from him, you know?
That was just being a straight up dick. Did you guys feel sorry for Kreese at all?
Yeah.
I didn't really either. I mean, the guy ruined Johnny's life.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
He's ruined everybody's life.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think he deserves to be in jail, though.
Well, he didn't even do that crime.
Well, I have thoughts about that, but.
I'm done with my point. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Tell us.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I don't have the list of. I had them and then I didn't write them down. But is Kreese guilty of what he was actually in jail for? No, we know that he's innocent for that. But when you actually have his list of offenses, mm-hmm. I mean, he probably does deserve to be in jail for all the things that he's done that we've seen just in the existence of Cobra Kai since season one. He probably does. And I find Kreese to be an interesting character. I don't, however, sympathize with him all that much. I thought that the note that Daniel passed him, was it something Miyagi might do? No. But I feel like this series, at least from the beginning, has, at least in my opinion, hinted that, you know, the show's not just about Johnny, it's not just about Daniel, it's about the two of them and how they each balance each other out and how they can be stronger together versus just alone. And I feel like this is the part where, you know, Daniel kind of takes on a little bit of the characteristics of like Johnny, because this is something like Johnny would do. And I feel like when they balance each other out, they're stronger together. And this, for me, you know, in that scene with Kreese, was, you know, it was unexpected. I thought, and that's why I thought it was really great, because I didn't expect Daniel to be the one to write that on the note. So I thought it was great. And I liked the My Cousin Vinny reference also. That they threw in there too. So I don't know. I thought
that?
when Daniel mentioned about helping him with a lawyer, and Kreese goes, not when you're greasy cousins or something like that. Greaseball or greasy cousins,
I didn't
or something.
Catch that.
That's a good one.
So good My Cousin Vinny reference. But I don't know. I thought it was great, because I feel like it's Johnny and Daniel coming together. You can see Johnny kind of taking on some of Daniel's characteristics, how he's more zen, more laid back. He's becoming more of a family man. He's, you know, kind of being the person you go to for a little bit of perspective, a little bit of the wisdom. Daniel's, you know, kind of taking on some of Johnny's characteristics, and they're becoming, I think, better for it. So,
like,
I
don't know. Johnny's characteristics, like being a liar and being deceitful.
Yeah, I didn't have any problem with that either. But, you know, I realized too that, like, do you guys still get nervous when Kreese and Johnny are alone? Like, I still get a little bit of nervous. I feel like he still holds a little bit of power, maybe a little bit of sway over Johnny. I still feel like there's that slim chance.
I almost thought he bowed when he came in, like out of habit. It looked like he did that a little bit. And that made me be like, don't do that, Johnny, no.
Yeah, and I'm just like, there's always that nervousness. And so, but it is pretty obvious at this point. He really seems to hate him.
Oh, yeah, he detests him.
He definitely really
does. And it's interesting to me that Kreese wants his affection. You know, he's like, I did everything for you. And I think there is a genuine, like, caring about Johnny there, even though, man, go back to the end of, or the beginning of Karate Kid 2, when he had his arm around his throat. Yeah.
But I was like, dude, Kreese has kind of gotten me psyched out since 1984. Jesus.
As usual, I don't agree with either one of you on this. I think it was really messed up what Daniel did. Of course, we're on the other side. Usually you guys are anti-Daniel. He does something more Johnny-like, I guess that's why. But I also feel more empathy towards Kreese. I don't think he's a good person, but I think he has potential. And I feel like by the end of this maybe season or series, that things will turn around for him. but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to wonder if he still has a part to play.
Yeah, after this, because it seemed like he gave up, like with Tori. He's like, I don't know, right. Just do whatever.
He was like, nothing's getting me out of here. And
I don't know why he would give up at that point. And the only thing that changed was that maybe he felt demoralized by what Johnny and Daniel did, you know? Because before that, he was still in prison, but he was trying to use Tori to help. And he was trying to have her send something to Daniel. And I did think it was pretty hilarious when Daniel said, well, yeah, well, that sent me right into a trap. And he was like, well, that wasn't my intention. And then you get a big smile on his face, but it was a nice consolation prize.
Right.
That was awesome. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, he's definitely been the bad guy, but I think he has potential to turn around. So I guess we'll see.
There's still the two unanswered questions, like what's Kreese's role still, and what's Mike Barnes's role too? He just disappeared.
I know. Was that just a one episode cameo?
I don't know.
Maybe it was, and maybe he'll have a bigger role next season.
Is next season for sure?
You know, I thought I read that they were filming it, even though it hasn't been officially picked up.
Mm.
But I don't really know for sure. I don't think it's been picked up though. But they want to do it.
Sure. Wow, that is even more mystery to the next two episodes.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
All right. What's your next point, Rich?
Episode 8.
The whole thing?
You know what? I'm going to say that one for last. I think it was Chosen. Chosen's training session with the kids and the bird. I don't even know how to pronounce it. The Yanburo Kunai. Kuna? Yanburo Kuna. Chosen running around, taking out the eggs one at a time. All of those scenes cracked me up. That was pretty good.
It was really
the
good.
Idea being that they should be working together to protect the eggs. Chosen was dropping hints the whole time too, right? He's like giving them little proverbs every time he smashes one of their eggs. My favorite was what he said to Dimitri. Birds love to hear themselves sing, but you sing lonely song. And now you're dead.
Yeah. Yeah. What were the, do you have the other ones? He said,
no,
one bird in
favorite.
Hand, helpless, squish. And then he said, just birds of a feather must flock together. So he was trying to tell them, you guys need to all get together, okay?
Yeah,
get together.
Dropping hints the whole time. I got a kick. No pun intended. Watching the end battle with all the kids together, holding the ground against Chosen. He makes a pretty imposing figure when he was running around with the staff.
Running at them, yeah.
Yeah, kind of past the tree, over the pond. And I was like, oh, shit. I was with the kids on that one. But I've always liked watching people work together to overcome, you know, whatever their thing is, especially when they're fighting and you're teaming up. I like military movies a lot and science fiction because of that, where people have to team up to get themselves out of a situation. And so that was cool. I really enjoyed those scenes. I think it was the best part about that episode.
Actually, it's interesting because this is what we thought he would be doing, you know, when he showed up at the end of season 2. We thought he's going to be training the kids. And
yeah.
And I actually enjoyed more him being Daniel's muscle. And I thought the egg thing was a little silly, but I liked the lesson of working together. And I thought it was hilarious that he's like throwing knives around these kids.
Right. Like busting out the weapons.
Yeah.
That
he's a bit like
move.
Johnny. Like his methods can be a little dangerous. I liked that Anthony was the one to figure it out. And that was kind of a reflection on when Sam told him, you know, he told Sam that he paid somebody to wash the car.
Right.
And she said, well, you use your mind to outwit an obstacle. And that's what he did at the end here, too. So he's adding some value, even though he doesn't know karate yet.
That was kind of dumb, though. He's like, I paid a guy to wax the cars, but that doesn't really matter. I'm like, it kind of does now. Yeah, you can't use your hands, dude. Yeah.
But the point was that he, you know, he outwitted the guy.
Strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah, strategy. But he needs to learn to block and stuff, too. I mean, it is also sort of like, you probably know this as a teacher, like some kids respond better to certain teaching methods, other kids to other methods. I don't think chores is good for Anthony.
Yeah. No, there's 7 different types of intelligences, and tell you what, it's not easy to teach them all.
Yeah, when you got 30 kids sitting there. One other comment I liked at the end there when, you know, they decided to stick together, and then they hear this whistle like he's coming, and Mitch is like, oh no, oh no, oh God. and Eli's like, get it together, penis breath. So that was my favorite part of the whole thing, was them all fighting him at once.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was a good fight, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Chosen. I really love the energy he's brought to this show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's really great. And he's got a little bit of Miyagi quality, I think, that the show needs.
Yeah.
Like with some of the wisdom and training that he brings. So I love it.
He's like Miyagi and Johnny together in some ways, because he's a bit reckless.
Yeah, a little, yeah, and he's a proven badass. So now we're getting these kids ready for this international tournament, right?
Master Sensei.
I love Chozen. So good.
Yeah, he's good. He's
never goes back home.
It's such a turnaround from what he was in the second movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was just a complete douche.
But he's fierce like that, though. Mm-hmm. They have kept that part of him where he's, you know, and brutal. Like, he seems like he's ready to kill.
Well, in that lesson with the kids, you know, because he can come off sounding a little harsh sometimes. I mean, I know he's not, but he's got a little bit of that harsh quality to him, and he almost sounds a little like Soto in some of the things that he's saying. I was like, ooh, got that little bit of a touch of Soto there. So he sounds a little, little scary, but he's so great. I enjoy the qualities he's brought.
He's the kind of teacher that on the first day you're like scared as hell, but then when you get to know him, you're like, okay, that's just how he is. I think it's your turn, Rima.
Well, my next point was just specifically Johnny and Daniel and their meeting with Kreis that I've already talked about, and I don't have anything to add to it.
Okay. Terry Silver's plan. So, as you mentioned right off the bat, we see Cobra Kai's taking over the valley, which I love because that's what he threatened to do in Karate Kid 3. And his plan worked. It started to make me think, seeing how developed Cobra Kai is, I wonder if there's any like alternate universe where Johnny could have teamed up with Terry when he was when Johnny was running Cobra Kai. Like season one, Johnny might have agreed with Terry more. But anyway, I don't know.
I was wondering that about Kreis. Why was Kreis so opposed about going big?
I know.
It's like he wanted to keep it small the whole time, right?
Yeah. He says, I've got this student that I'm focused on, and it's Johnny, clearly, right? When he started as a 12-year-old or whatever.
He's like, we even have the same name.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to, I don't want to expand. I want to focus on this. And he said that to Johnny, like, I instead of expanding, I was focused on you. That's creepy. He was 12 years old. Why don't you care about your business? Why can't you do both?
Yeah. I just wanted to groom kids, I guess.
That's weird. That's a weird plot element. I don't understand why they put that in there.
Yeah. And then Silver was like, okay, man, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Which fits into this whole theme of he decided at one point to follow his own instincts and be a leader. But back then he was listening to Kreis. Anyways. Terry Silver's plan. So Daniel, Johnny, and Chosen and Amanda are all strategizing. And I thought it was a bit silly that they were like, okay, he's got something up his sleeve. Because it's like, well, he's opening up a bunch of Cobra Kai locations. It seems pretty clear what his secret plan is. Open up locations everywhere. But, of course, there is a secret. The whole Sakai Takai tournament. I think it's kind of a contrived way to make the story so that the solution will be for the kids to fight each other. Again, But then again, we're watching Cobra Kai. That's always the solution for every Cobra Kai and Karate Kid movie. You know, fight in the tournament.
Yeah.
And then Kreese told Johnny and Daniel about when he and Terry went back east, where the Way of the Fist first started, to learn from Master Kim Sung-young. So we get to see him for the first time. And he's pretty much doing the same thing we always see Cobra Kai teachers do, having his students beat the hell out of each other. And when one's lying on the ground, he yelled something at him, which I interpreted to be, finish him. What are you, what are you waiting for?
Well, that's
stop screwing around.
Cobra Kai's based in, so I mean, it makes sense.
He's like, as far as we know, the originator of it. There was a girl watching, and Kreese winked at her. What was that about? Just
I don't know.
That's Sensei Kim.
Oh, granddaughter.
Yeah, it's his granddaughter.
Okay, cool. Love it. Yeah. So then Terry says, "I bought a dojo for you," and tells him about this Sekai, the top karate tournament of the world, but no one in the United States has heard about it, and he wants to make it the Super Bowl of karate. It's not a real thing, by the way. I looked it up, but I was careful because I thought I might get spoiled on the last two episodes. Anyway, Terry says, if we win, Cobra Kai will be everywhere. Our way will be the way. And they say he wants to take it global, which kind of, you know, earlier this season, I was like, the theme of Cobra Kai is about the importance of good teaching, and the stakes have really been raised this season because it seems like bad teaching could be spread all around the whole planet. So that's what he's trying to do. And I just thought, if it's the biggest tournament in the world, but 40 years later, no one in the States has heard of it.
Yeah, that was kind of strange.
And I also thought, okay, Terry says he wants to be a part of it, and in return, he'll help them with sponsorships and advertising. So maybe you could look at it like a business synergizing thing. Like, I'll help you make you famous while you help make me. Because I do think if there was a big famous tournament and Cobra Kai won, that it would absolutely help him be able to open way more dojos, because they could advertise that they're the winners of this big tournament, you know?
Yeah. I thought it fit well into the narrative, because he's he's kind of like, well, he has the Cobra Kai thing down, right? So now he's going after his business ventures, and he wants to get in with these guys and bring them to the United States, that huge untapped market. And then I bet you, like a Bond villain, just eventually take over the whole thing, right?
Probably. But I mean, even if it's just about expanding Cobra Kai nationally and internationally, maybe, I mean, the way I'm rationalizing to myself is it would be easier to do that if you had this reputation as being the winners of this big tournament. But the wrinkle here is there, I guess there is no big tournament that they can enter. So they're just, or maybe Terry thinks, I'll help you get big and then I can cheat by, because you owe me, you know, that would be another possibility. And then Daniel's counter is, of course, to enter the tournament. He butts in and noses in on the competition, and
that was a cool scene. You could you could see Silver was visibly pissed off.
Yeah, and when they won at the end, when Samantha got those clear punches in,
yeah,
and you could see, or I can't remember if it was then, or I think it was after the official guy announced that Miyagi-Do was also going to get to go. Daniel just looked over at Terry Silver and was like, yep, I gotcha.
You suck.
So, Terry Silver's plan. All right, Rich.
So, yeah. So, along that line, episode 8, right? The ending. I mean, well, for me, up to this point, I truly have no clue what the hell's going to happen next. In fact, I can't wait to watch, right? So, I'm kind of like, so, I don't know. So, I was kind of like, blah. Again, been there, done that with the ending, you know, on episode 8 with some teen drama and Sam crying about Miguel again.
It was back. Thought of you, Rich.
It's like deja vu. And then Tori shows up. Oh, yeah, I've seen that before. But then Tori is like, you didn't lose the All Valley. And then all of a sudden, I'm back in the game. And I'm just like, it's real genius how they run this show, man. It just gives us enough, you know, just that little, like, six words to keep the interest going, you know? I mean, that, what does that mean? That may be bigger for Sam than her feelings for Miguel? I don't know. I am intrigued. And then the same with the Taikai tournament, right? At first, I'm like, what? What happened here? Did I lose something? The story just got twisted to end the season with yet another tournament. Mm-hmm. But this one's going to be different, right? I mean, both dojos, are they going to be fighting each other?
Since there's only two episodes left,
I bet it's not going to be this season.
I feel like I sense a cliffhanger coming, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm willing to bet. I don't know.
If it's a big international thing, it seems like they would want to build up to it.
Well, and have time to train,
yeah.
And
unless this is the last season.
It might. If it is, then it might end in a really unsatisfying way. Because the writers have said they have more seasons in mind.
Yeah.
So it's up to Netflix. Ugh, hate to say that sentence.
Yeah, I haven't seen, it's... don't have any news for this week, but I haven't seen anything about an official green light for season 6. I feel like they always kind of wait until it's like about 8 weeks or so after, until like all, like, even though it's been out for a little while and we're kind of doing the two episodes a week, they kind of wait like a couple months after it's been out before they finally green light it, even though we know it's got to be coming back. I mean, it's super popular. Okay.
I didn't know that. That's good to hear.
It's typically a trend. I mean, look, Netflix is anything, you know, but consistent.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like a lot of times that's typically what they do. They won't immediately do it. Sometimes they green light it before, sometimes they green light it after. Typically with Cobra Kai, I've seen where they're waiting like a couple months. I think they're waiting for like all the final numbers or something. I don't know. But I'm confident it's probably coming back. I feel like it has to. There's no way they're going to wrap up everything that needs to be wrapped up in these two episodes. And especially with like this huge international tournament. In my opinion.
Yeah, I don't even want them to do it.
They're pretty good at moving the show along, though. I mean, they've been doing a pretty quick pace this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. If they did, they're going up against, like, some otherworldly fighters, right? From all around the planet.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty badass, man. You make a couple of good episodes out of that.
I highly doubt it. Yeah,
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised because it's Cobra Kai.
Next weekend is your daughter's wedding, so if they do it, if they wrap it up this season, I'll buy you a drink.
The drinks are free.
I was gonna say, isn't Rich paying for the drinks?
That's right. Yeah, I've already paid off drinks. Yeah.
Nice try there, Jay.
It's like cake's worth. Yeah, but you know, the show just leaves you with enough to get excited and keep watching. Why can't they write other shows like this? I mean, this is glorious the way they run this show. It's just, you know, I wouldn't say it's a blazing pace, but it's enough so you don't get bored. And then they add little bits here to even like take some stuff they've already done and put a little twist to it. It just keeps you interested, keeps you excited, and you want to keep watching. I don't think I've aside from the Evil Dead franchise, I don't think I've ever watched a show like this before.
Ash vs. Evil Dead. Pretty.
Yeah, Ash vs. Evil
Dead. They did the same thing. Yeah.
It's the same, yeah. Yeah, I like these like film-style comedies, you know? We didn't used to have that so much. Changing locations and a lot of drama in there, too. High production value. Pretty cool.
And then the thing is, too, is that sometimes you get lost in a show because you don't make a connection with the characters, but I've made a connection with almost every single character in this show.
Yeah.
And that's saying something because I usually don't do that.
Yeah, that's cool.
I get that.
Since you brought it up, so Miguel goes to the party and there's a cute girl and he ends up with her. Do we feel judgmental of him about that?
No. They broke up.
I mean,
I don't. Especially because he kind of waited around a little while and felt it out, and it seemed like Samantha wasn't interested.
Till she found that stupid octopus on the floor.
Yeah, the necklace came back and reared its head.
Yeah. Well, you knew it too, right?
She took a break, and then she sort of came back to the things that she took a break from. First, karate, and then decided to go back with Miguel. But it was, of course, because this is a soap opera.
Yeah.
Just a minute too late.
I mean, I'm not like critical of Sam in any way other than she's acting like a typical girl or teenage girl, teenager. This is all teenager stuff. You know, she can't quite make up her mind who she wants to be with. I mean, since season one, the poor girl, she has just went from this guy to this guy to this guy and that guy. She can't figure out who she wants to be with. And, You know, then she
was with Kyler, huh? I forgot about that.
Yeah, she, you know, broke up with Miguel to find herself and figure out who she is, and then she decides, you know, oh hey, I'm feeling great about things and want to try again. And I mean, I feel bad for her, but Miguel doesn't owe her anything. They broke up, yeah. And it was, and she made it very clear and that wanted to be friends. And it's unfortunate that the timing sucked.
And I also actually think, and maybe if they were older, this could be a realistic outcome, but given that he immediately started running after her, she might actually go, all right, this was a hookup. It doesn't mean anything. Let's date again. But when you're teenagers, that's less likely to happen.
It's maybe devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all of this happens when you're watching that, like, 25 seconds of film, right? And then, but then, like, Tori showed up and said something, and then you're like, oh, okay, well, that seems pretty important. You know, yeah. How's that going to change things, right?
Yeah.
I don't mind the teen drama as much as you, but yeah, I agree. When she said that, it made it more interesting.
Yeah. Because now, what's Sam going to focus on?
She's like, I don't care. I lost Miguel.
Miguel was kissing another girl. I mean, I get it. It's devastating. It's hurtful. I mean, clearly she... Because it's not like they broke up because they didn't care about each other. Miguel didn't want to break up. She wanted to break up. And she wasn't in a good headspace. So I get where she was at. And I get, you know, why she did what she did. And it wasn't because she didn't like him or didn't want to be with him anymore. She just had to figure out her own shit. And that's valid. But, it, you know, it's still just, I know it was just really hurtful to her, sure. You know, to see that, to see the guy that you're into and want to get back together with, you know, making out. And I'm sure it was just a very casual, not like he, you know, just a in the moment thing for Miguel, you know, not a big deal. Not like he probably cares for that girl. We know he cares for Sam, but it's devastating. Yeah, it's like a knife in the heart, you know.
Maybe she was just kissing him. It's not what it looks like, baby.
I've heard that before.
I remember when I liked Jill from high school, and she I don't think she listens to this, but anyways, she told me she didn't want to see anybody right now. And then I went to a high school dance and I saw her kissing a guy on the floor.
Yep.
And that just about killed me right there. That was the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life up until that moment.
Yeah, that was pretty devastating. Yeah. And then check this out, right? Jill's sister Amy and I dated for a little while. And I got nowhere with her, but I wanted to. And then she goes off to college, comes back, and is like, hey, let's get together. And I was like, hey, what's going on? She's like, oh, I slept with a couple of guys in my dorm. And I'm like, what? What about me? What happened? I didn't want to ruin our friendship. And I'm like, huh?
Why not?
We did everything but. Is that what friends
all
do?
All right. We're getting a little detailed here.
Sorry.
We need to have anyways, more conversations offline here.
Yeah, no,
I need more.
That's how teen drama goes. Just saying we can identify, right?
Yeah,
for sure. Oh gosh,
I mean, the almost
that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah, but if she would have come running after me, Jason, I would have been like, "All right,
yeah,
same. All forgiven."
I don't know. Maybe I mean it would have taken a minute, but yeah, I don't know. Anyway, okay, I'm totally lost. Is it my turn or what? Whose turn is it?
I just went. I was talking about episode 8.
Okay, that means it's Rima, your turn.
Is it me? Well, I mentioned episode 8 was just not... It wasn't at the level for me coming off the other two. And I guess not all will be, but this one was my one to pick on a little bit. And mostly with the fighting at their little... mock tournament to see which dojo would be good enough to move on into or you know to qualify for that world tournament. It was super annoying to me. You know, it was mentioned earlier about the obvious cheating with the referee and Terry Silver, that the slow looks and slow nods, and I'm like, really? One else is, I mean, Tori picked up on it, but I'm like, no one else sees
I'm surprised
this.
You've he didn't, got like put his finger on his nose and point at Terry.
Yeah, I mean, it was like everything but that. And
wink, wink.
And then how did like these representatives? Like I don't remember how many there were, but they're at this long table, and they're all watching the same fight. How did these representatives from this prestigious world-renowned tournament didn't notice these bullshit calls that the ref right. was making. I mean, why weren't why weren't they like, hey, that was in bounds, that hit was in bounds, or no, that shot was not on the shoulder, it was, you know, where it was supposed to be. Like, nobody's making any, like, calls there and questioning things. It was just a little much for me. There's a lot of things in Cobra Kai that I can forgive, but this was just a little too much for me. You know, I get a lot of things are over the top, and there's some cheese ball moments, and I love it, and I live for it in this show. But this was a little bit annoying to me. It was a little bit too much for me to, like, let go of.
They made it too obvious because it makes us feel like, as an audience, they don't think we're smart enough to get it. If they would have made it look a little more like, oh yeah, that was a call I could see where people might wonder if it was real or not, and not have the ref keep looking over at Terry and just let us figure out, yeah, Terry cheated before, so he's probably doing it again, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like these guys have to be well versed on the rules, right? So, and they're not even a little bit suspicious, like, hey, that doesn't look right. And then why weren't any of the Miyagi-Do kids taught some special nerve strike technique? You know, we keep, like, Chosen would talk about, like, when he and Johnny were having their little bromance moment together, and they're talking about the nerve strike technique that Chosen taught him. Why aren't they teaching the Miyagi-Do kids that? Why aren't they learning their crane kick? Why aren't they learning,
like,
their special
make your arm go numb or something? Like,
yeah,
that?
Why aren't they, like, you know, Kenny pulls out the silver bullet special technique or whatever. Why aren't they teaching the Miyagi-Do kids this? They're
those
still
are lethal, or, you know, they don't want
to. Not
teach
the nerve
them
strike.
To...
They're not. It just makes your arm go numb for a little bit.
Yeah, I guess I could teach him that, but not the one like Kenny did. That's more Terry Silver, like, let's incapacitate a person in a way that could actually harm them, you know? I guess Hawk just got the breath taken out of him, but, you know, he poked right through that.
Well, and a shot to the solar plexus, it's, you know, honestly, that's kind of first year martial arts stuff. It's not some special knowledge.
It's a tournament, though. You're not supposed to.
You can strike in
the
chest. That's a valid point. That's a
valid
strike.
The idea
is
to hit them on a certain place on their body, not to hurt them so bad that they can't compete.
No,
and Miyagi-Do is especially trying to be honorable and not overly aggressive. That's Cobra Kai is the overly aggressive.
I'm not saying he should have hurt him, and I know that he was out to, like, hurt him and take the breath out, but a strike to the chest itself is a valid.
That, but special techniques like this silver bullet is designed to hurt.
Well, then what about the crane kick then? I'm not talking about out to hurt someone. I'm talking about why aren't they being taught something unique or something that the Cobra Kai students may not expect to see? You know, they're taught straight up. Like, why aren't they taught something that's still legal?
They're teaching them everything they know. I mean, I guess you're right. Not the arm numbing thing, but you see them when they did their whole training, you see all the classic Daniel moves. And then it's kind of cool because when the officials from the tournament came to Miyagi-Do to observe, and Daniel described the defensive part and then Johnny described the offensive part. And that made me feel like, oh yeah, they actually do work together really well because Johnny's more offense focused, Daniel's more defense. So that's more holistic. But I mean, I don't know. I think they're teaching them everything they know.
It could be, too, that you'd enter a gray area where Miyagi-Do is now kind of stooped to Cobra Kai's level and, you know, and all these different little moves that could be considered cheating. They kind of got to be more upstanding where Cobra Kai is expected to be the bad guy.
That's
why
I didn't like Daniel pulling that move on Kreese, because it was stooping to their level when I thought this season was supposed to be about honor.
But at this point, I don't know. I mean, maybe a gray area would be kind of cool. Fight fire with fire, right?
I mean, if they did that, it would really just kind of go against the whole point of the series that, you know, we're trying to make it so that Cobra Kai teachings don't get spread around the world, but we're going to teach our kids the same things.
Yeah. I don't know. How would you feel if you could, like, incapacitate somebody with one hit?
Well, if it's on the street, yeah, but that's a little different. than like if it's someone who's going to kill you, if you don't do it, then you want to know a move like that.
Yeah, they mentioned something like that too. They were like, this isn't real life. Well, this is the mat and a point counts.
Yeah, that's what Kenny said to Terry, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And Terry will rationalize using lethal moves because he's silver tongued.
Gosh, what is going to happen? All right, let's wrap it up, guys. Go watch the next two episodes.
Anything else, Rima?
No.
All right, let's see. I had a point on Cobra Kai training. They looked pretty badass, just doing those burpees and quick and good shape. Devin in particular, I thought had some really high kicks. I like the music, like low pulsing evil music while they're training. And Kim Dae-yoon wants to suss out the best of the best. So she breaks them into pairs and tells them one's going to be the leader. And you're supposed to score a point against an opponent who outmatches you, one of the senseis. And Kyler and Kenny are together, and Kyler's so annoying, saying, I'm number one, remember that. And so it's kind of silly, too, that Kyler's like, okay, now go low, aim for his shins. I'm like, he's right here, he can hear you. How is it going to help to broadcast your moves like that? And then he's like, know your role, stay in your lane. And they, of course, fuck up. And then Terry tells Kenny, you know, you could be better than the best fighters. We've kind of already gone over a lot of this. But, yeah, I just thought it was kind of interesting it's pretty clear that Kenny's going to be the poster boy for Cobra Kai. So going forward, that could be pretty cool. Then there's Devin and Tori versus Kim Dae-yoon. And Devin messes up and Tori's like, what are you doing? We got to work together. And she goes, you want to work together? Stay out of my way. And I'm like, what? Why did you say that? And then Dae-yoon kicks their asses. And then Tori, in the second round, after, you know, we visited some other storylines, came back. Tori's like, if we're going to do this, you have to listen to me. And she goes, that's what I've been trying to do since I got here. And I'm like, no, you haven't. You told her to stay out of your way. So that was a little weird and ridiculous.
Devin's a hot mess.
Yeah. And then Kim Dae-yoon wins again, but only because Tori didn't sacrifice Devin. So I didn't quite get the mechanics of that, but anyway, I don't know. All that stuff was sort of semi-interesting to me, which is what.
And in the end, did it really matter? I mean, I don't know. At the turn, the makeshift tournament, right? The ref was crooked, but did it really have an effect on the outcome? He didn't. His calls didn't affect whether Hawk lost, and his calls didn't affect.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I guess it did make Samantha, you know, make her points more concrete.
It actually hurt Cobra Kai because, yeah. Come to think of it, because you're right, Kenny. I mean, it's because Tori noticed that they were cheating that she left. Mm-hmm. And so that put Devin up against Samantha. And if Tori had been up against Samantha, maybe she would have had a chance.
Yeah. And so their ways are kind of failing them.
Yeah.
And then in the end, the panel was like, you can both be in.
Yeah.
Which wasn't a surprise, I guess.
It was funny, though, because, I mean, kind of dickish, actually. Okay, we've decided it's Cobra Kai. Yeah. And you guys, you know, well, it's also you. Oh!
Oh!
Gotcha! Well,
and with Tori, I think it's interesting because, you know, she's definitely demonstrating some Miyagi-Do ideology when they were having their sparring with their senseis. The girls and the guys were paired off. She was supposed to be the leader and she was supposed to use Devin as a way to get to the sensei to like win that little mini match. But instead she, you know, went the way of looking out for friends and teammates, which is more of a, like a Miyagi-Do kind of thing. So I could see her flipping pretty fast, which would be interesting because then all the best fighters would be at Miyagi-Do instead of Cobra Kai.
Would they welcome her? I guess they would, huh?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. Amanda was on her side for a while.
Everybody's back there and they all hated each other. Like, Cox back, Robbie's back.
I mean, they're
like they let Tori come back.
If Robbie and Miguel can, you know, come together, why can't, you know, they with Tori?
Right. And Rocky can bring Russia around.
If Rocky can reunite, yeah, the USSR.
And Rocky's a hero.
Kim Dae-yoon tells Devin, well, if Tori's not going to be the leader, then it's going to be you. And I felt like that was a little like, really? She just lost. It seems like a good Cobra Kai teacher would like smack her in the face and shame her or something, you know?
Yeah, that was a little inconsistent.
Yeah, yeah. But
you're not worth my spit.
Right, exactly. But that's where the plot needs to be. So it's fine. I mean, Devin's an interesting character.
That's the same girl that was on Johnny's team, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she was Eagle Fang. But then when they all disbanded, she wanted to stay in karate. She didn't want to. Yeah, she didn't want to quit. She goes on about, you know, not being a quitter. She wanted to keep up with karate, but with Miyagi-Do and Eagle Fang disbanded, she found another dojo and
yeah,
was
I was
consumed.
Reminded because when she went out on the mat, she glanced over at Johnny, kind of paused for a little bit.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just sort of not really aware of all the drama, I guess. That's the way she comes off anyway.
Yeah, Tori keeps telling her, this place is bad.
She just wants to keep getting better and better. And I think she just really admires Tori. She doesn't, I don't think, really see Cobra Kai for what it is. And I know Tori's trying to tell her, like, this place is dangerous and you shouldn't be here. But she just is so focused on her own goals of being better and better and pushing herself. And she wants to learn from the best. I mean, that's how you get better. And she's just not recognizing that it's not good for her. She just sees Tori as like the best fighter. She admires her and wants to learn from her. It's just unfortunate it's at that dojo.
That probably sounds funny to her, huh? It's like, this place is bad. And then it's like, well, then why are you here?
Yeah. I mean, it's contradicting. It's
Tori's like, I'm a secret agent.
Yeah. She can't tell, like, well, I'm a mole and I'm trying to disband the whole thing, but
bring it down. Get out while you can.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
All right. I think it's Richard. Do you have any more?
You know, I like that scene with Daniel, Amanda, and Johnny talking around the, I guess they were at the car dealership and they were in this like dim, dark room around a lighted table. You
like
know,
a war room.
Dramatic music. Yeah. Speaking in hushed tones like it's some sort of strategic military operations meeting. And then there, like some rando guy comes in and is like, hey. Does anybody work here? I want to buy a car, please. I thought that was cool.
Like back to the real world.
Yeah, the show's kind of poking a little fun at itself there. You know,
yes.
Serious stuff for our main characters, but then there's like the rest of the world could not care less, you know.
Yeah.
Like their karate rivalry.
It's also poking fun at itself because when they need Daniel to be fully available for all the karate stuff, they just kind of ignore the car shop, but they're like, yeah, yeah, it's still there.
Right. Yeah. They're still employed.
Yeah.
I mean, he owns it. I know he likes to be an active salesman and likes to be there, but he does technically own it. So I guess he doesn't have to be present like
make his own
every
hours.
Day, but yeah, he can kind of do what he wants.
Anything else, Rima?
No, I only have notes left.
Okay. I only have one more point. It's references and callbacks. Maybe we'll do some of these trivia style again, see if you guys know where it's from. So the kids are at Miyagi-Do warming up. Eli asks Miguel if he's going to go after Sam again. And Dimitri goes, I thought you decided to keep things platonic. And Eli says, yeah, well, she did. He didn't. Hmm. What's that from?
That was Karate Kid 1 with after Allie broke up with Johnny. But I don't remember who said it.
It's when Daniel first meets Allie on the beach and it's night and he's showing her how to bounce the soccer ball on his knee. And Cobra Kai rolls up on their motorcycles and the red leather jackets. And Tommy says, "Hey, you must be a trendsetter, Johnny. Everyone's doing something new. Take a right. Check it out." And then Bobby says, "Hey, Johnny, forget it, man. It's ancient history." And he goes, "Who told you, man?" And then somebody else says, "I thought they broke up." And he goes, "She did. He didn't."
Nope.
Okay. Dayoon kicks Devin and Tori's asses. Devin's on the ground groaning. Dayoon says, "What was that sound? Was that pain? Pain does not exist."
Crease, Cobra Kai. Yeah. Pain does not exist in this dojo.
Does it?
Yes, Sensei.
No, Sensei. Defeat does not exist in this dojo. Yeah, and I think that's cool because it feels like it's one of the philosophies of the Way of the Fist. You know, it's like some Zen koan about to teach endurance fighting. Pain doesn't exist. It's all in your head or something like that.
Mm.
So to have it repeated makes sense since her grandpa taught Crease.
She's a badass, by the way.
Yeah, she is.
It's great to see her fight.
Daniel is showing images of the lineage of Miyagi-Do teachers to the tournament people. He says, "Our Okinawan style of karate has been handed down from generation to generation, going back 400 years. Johnny goes, "Shrimpo Sensei loved fishing, loved sake bombs. One day, strong wind, strong sun." And then Daniel cut him off. Do you know what that's from?
Shrimpo Sensei?
No.
It's from Karate Kid 2 when Miyagi and Daniel are in Okinawa. And I think he had that same image. And he said, "Like all Miyagi, Shrimpo Sensei, not Shrimpo, was fisherman. Love fishing, love sake. One day, strong wind, strong sun, strong sake, but no fish. Shrimpo Sensei fall asleep off coast of Okinawa, wake up off coast of China. 10 year later, he come back with Chinese wife and two kids and secret of Miyagi family karate."
Oh, that was in the second movie. I thought that was in the show, like the second season.
And I don't know how the hell Johnny would know that.
He must have sat through, he sat through all the lessons of the Miyagi-Do. Yeah.
Maybe it was a bar story.
They're showing Kyler using motion capture to improve his form. And then Johnny saying, "No fancy crap here. Our dojo's old school." And Sam's kicking the watermelon and kicks it all over the judge. And Johnny's like, "Oh, hey, look, I'm sure this probably seems weird to you, but sometimes you have to train outside the box to get to another level. Some people use the latest high tech junk to get there. And some people need to run up a mountain in the snow and yell." And the guy goes, "Drago!" "Rocky Balboa is my hero. His victory over Russia effectively restored my fractured homeland." Johnny's like, "You get it. I do." Which I thought was awesome that we've actually talked about that it reminded us of that sometimes, the high tech Cobra Kai, and they just totally came right out and said it. I love that. And then Sam finds the octopus necklace, realized that Miguel got it for her. And I'm like, okay, they must have bonded over an octopus and I just don't remember. So I looked it up. They did.
They did. It was at the, I don't remember the name of the, that amusement park or the golf and stuff when they were playing the games and he won her that stuffed octopus. It's just been, it's been their thing ever since.
He called it Senior Octopus. And the only other one is that I like that Terry Silver is in his flashback wearing an ascot just like he did in Karate Kid 3.
It's a good tie-in.
Yeah, a little tie-in.
Nice ascot.
It was weird to see. I get why they used that younger version of Crease in that scene, because that's what we were used to in those flashbacks. But that was only 4 years from the first Karate Kid movie.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah, I know. The actors don't. Like, that's too short a time for them to change from that to that.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's fine.
It's Whatever. It's the same way when we watch Better Call Saul, we ignore that Bob Odenkirk is 60 years old. It's supposed to be a prequel to Breaking Bad.
Yeah, no.
He's in pretty good shape, though.
Yeah, because he did that movie, Nothing, or is that what it's called?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nobody, yeah.
Yeah. Nobody hated that movie more than me. All right, notes. Rich?
Oh, did you guys catch when Terry said, "Oh, I like that. Yeah.
No, I didn't catch it.
No.
Yeah, he said it.
That's right.
Except he said it much
hushed tones,
much less energy. It was when is it Deanne? She was talking about
Devin.
Dayun. When she was talking about, and they need to, like, you know, fish out some leadership in their dojos, and she's like, "We need to find out who can be a leader and who's a follower." And he goes, "Oh, I like that. Yeah."
I must have missed it because it was toned down.
Yeah,
I know, I need the coked out version.
But I like it that he said that.
Yeah, me too. That's great.
What else?
I was a little, I don't know if I should say this out loud, but it's like the head of the Sekai Takai was a middle-aged white guy with a dad bod.
From Germany. Yeah. That is weird.
Why are all these guys middle-aged white dudes with dad bods? It's kind of odd. But yeah, I guess he was weird. From a different country.
I think he was from Germany.
He was from Germany, and I don't know if he was an actual fighter or anything. I don't know if they're just like, if there's like a board.
Mm-hmm. Just like with the All Valley.
Yeah, of the tournament. I don't know. I don't know anything. I mean, because it doesn't really exist, there's nothing to like look up as far as like what it's about or anything. But I'm just like, I don't know. Is this like a legit tournament where there's like points? Is it going to be something like Bloodsport?
I know. Huh?
I'm like, I'm waiting for Bloodsport to happen. And it's like, oh, is this going to be like the winner of this Sekai Taikai whatever tournament? That winner actually going to be entered into this underground Kumitai tournament? That's what I'm waiting for.
That'd be cool. Amanda was funny when she introduced herself as karate adjacent. Quick thinking on her feet.
Amanda had a good line.
I had.
Her line to Chosen, I'd be monster. I'm sure you'd make a really great monster.
Yeah. He said, I think she said aw first. Aw, I bet you'd make a great monster. That's so funny. Okay, Rima?
I thought a little bit about that fight between Kenny and Eli. Reminded me, when you were talking about your callbacks, did you get, it was kind of like almost an inversion of when Daniel beat Johnny. You had the younger, smaller, inexperienced fighter who had the special technique and also maybe a little bit of dirty fighting thrown in from when Daniel and Johnny were fighting. You know, Daniel was the lesser experienced. He was a little smaller than Johnny, and he wins and he pulls out this special crane technique. And then Johnny had used that similar leg technique on Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Where he grabs his leg and slams his elbow into the back of his knee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little bit of similarities there.
Eli limped off. It reminded me of Daniel limping around on the tournament floor in Karate Kid.
Yep. Yep. A little bit. That must be, a Way of the Fist / Cobra Kai kind of thing. And not legal, too, apparently, because he got called out for that.
He said he should have disqualified him, but the ref was in Terry Silver's pocket.
Yeah. I actually liked Silver's conversation with Kenny in his office. I think if Terry Silver was not a manipulator and evil, I think
all that advice would be good. Yeah.
I think, well, just remove those qualities, that would have been really great. I mean, you can see why he's went far in life, you know Terry Silver's not a dummy, so I think, you know, he's had success as a teacher, but because he's evil, he's also a great manipulator as well. But I liked the speech that he gave him. It's just unfortunate of the place that he's coming from.
Yeah. Because, it's just a means to an end.
Yeah.
I mean, he found a good market for toxic sludge dumping, and he just really ran with it.
And I think, and one of my notes is, I think it's just wild how much money Terry Silver is willing to pump into this whole, rivalry here in this high school karate tournament thing. You know, I'm like, the dude is pumping out so much money. For all this, buying up all these dojos. I thought I heard them say that he was a billionaire. Now, whether or not that was just like throwing it out there like, oh God, he's just a billionaire. And over exaggeration or not, I don't know, but
clearly. Can't he just build a spaceship and go to Mars? I mean,
right. Yeah, it's interesting because that was one of the funny things about Karate Kid 3 is that this guy who has all this money would say, all right, I'm going to take a vacation from all my businesses and just focus on getting revenge on this kid and his teacher.
On a high schooler, yeah.
Yeah. And now, so that sort of makes it make a little more sense that he would do this even if it doesn't really match up with the scale of where he's made all his money. But then, too, maybe he's trying to make it match up with scale. If it's going to be a global karate chain, maybe it will actually make it, and it's successful, it could make a dent in his bottom line, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
And it's interesting how when you're like entrepreneurial at that level, sometimes it seems like you can just work magic that none of us mere mortals would ever even be able right. to approach.
So many resources we couldn't even conceive of.
Yeah. And just the mindset and the knowledge and everything that you need.
Yeah. To be able to do an army of people at your beckon.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Speaking of all the people, it's funny all the, how the Cobra Kai dojo is all super high tech and they've got a smoothie bar. And it was funny. They showed, it was just a quick glimpse, but as the, like little mini tournament with the kids are going on, you can see the receptionist in the background just kind of going about her, you know, daily duties or just kind of working behind the desk and not even giving a crap in the world about what's going on with this little having. It was just funny.
Right.
Just to see that.
She's booking in more members and appointments now.
Yeah. She's like, I've got work to do. I'm not all up in y'all's little rivalry going on. It's just funny. Like nobody, and maybe that's why the judges weren't even like coming onto the fact that this judge was in Terry's pocket and totally cheating, because like, why would you care so much that you have to freaking cheat? Like even they didn't care about it as much as like what Terry and Daniel and Johnny care about it, because like, why would you have to cheat? Why would you care so much that you feel like you have to cheat to do that? I don't know, but
I knew he was gonna be a bad ref as soon as I saw him. He was in sweatpants, for God's sake. I mean, he didn't care, right?
Yeah. Anyway, that's all my notes.
All right. I just had a few. I think Kenny should be in that new horror movie, Smile. When he smiles, it creeps me out. He's got awesome teeth though.
Yeah.
There were kids on both sides kind of half joking around about getting famous and getting sponsorships. I think Devin did, and maybe Hawk or somebody. I wonder if that's foreshadowing. I wonder if something like that will happen.
Oh yeah, they're talking about getting like I heard they got a commercial, or they got to do a commercial something like that, huh?
Insta famous.
Yeah, insta famous. And last, I liked when Daniel said to Samantha, you're sharper than ever. The student is surpassing the teacher here. That was a really nice thing for him to say. And
right,
she probably is better, well, than he was at that age.
Yeah, she looked good.
Samantha's a good fighter. She really is.
She's kicking hard.
I really dislike she's the only girl in Miyagi-Do, though. I'm just so afraid. Like, when they're like, oh, one boy and one girl from each dojo has to fight. I'm like, well, Sam's the only girl, you know?
Well, that's not a hard choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
she's a really
good
fighter.
But I thought that, too, because even though they're acting, she really good at what she's doing. She's good at acting, unless she really knows how to do karate. The actress, they all trained. Really,
I think they all did learn before they started filming way back in season one.
I remember
one.
Thinking if she's not pulling her punches or kicks, that would hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that at least with some of these guys, they probably got the job because they already knew some. Like this Kenny, I bet you he knew because, you know, he seems like he's pretty good.
Yeah, but, they all have really good form.
But I don't know if they all knew some before they got hired. I do know that they all train regularly. I think every day they train.
I'm just jealous. I can barely walk, much less kick that high.
Well, I was thinking, you know, like all these actors coming back to work on this thing that they did in the mid-80s, you know, what would it be like for you and me to go back and continue something that we started 35 years ago? I'm like, I know, what were we doing back then? I mean, we did that chase video about 30 years ago.
Yeah, what about the chase video?
So we got to do a sequel, right? We'll be like, oh.
Walking with a cane. I'm going to get you.
Your walkers.
We don't have our canes yet, but we probably can't run like that anymore. We did a video, by the way, where Richard was, for the first half, chasing me in his truck, and he did like a 180 right in the middle of our town there. Some guy comes out of his house, I'm gonna call the cops, which
some
I totally
neighbor
don't blame
pissed
him
off.
Yeah.
I thought it was great,
super fun.
Dumb kid stuff.
All right, that good?
Yeah,
yeah,
that was good.
Okay, we'll take a little break. There's a bit more to come. Stay with us. All right, back. It's time for some feedback. We didn't get much, which is kind of typical by this time. Everybody's watched it. Hopefully there's still some people listening. Anyways, we have one message and a few calls. So, Rich?
Gemma Hall writes, I loved Daniel and Johnny getting one over on Kreese and tricking him. I do feel a bit sorry for Kreese, but you got to remember all the shit that he's done. Chosen, teaching the kids to work as a team was very effective and bonded the two JoJos. It's great to see Miguel and Robbie on the same team. It's good to see Anthony getting more involved, too. I think it was also really brave of Tori to confess the truth to Sam. I was riveted by these episodes. Honestly, I couldn't turn them off.
Yeah. Tori's sort of out of options because Kreese bailed on her. And so now it makes more sense why she'd have waited until now. But I was glad to see that. It's interesting.
Yeah, and she's already got a fragile self-esteem. So, I mean, finding out that she won because there was a bad ref.
That would make me feel better.
I would hate
better.
That.
No. What am I saying? It wouldn't make me feel better. I'd be like, hey, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I got it mixed up. I thought you were talking about Sam finding out that she lost because of the bad ref.
Yeah, no, it should make Sam feel better.
That would make her feel better.
Yeah, no, I was like, what? No, Tori, I would hate that.
Stewing inside her.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. All right, couple calls. Here's Mike, trusty old Mike with his call. Where is it? I don't want to play the wrong one. Here it is.
It's Mike from Cincinnati again, and just watched episodes 7 and 8 of the 5th season of Cobra Kai, and so we have the Seki Taikai. Okay, that's got to be where this series is going, right? Like that's going to be it, I'm guessing, in the 6th season, which I don't think has been officially announced, but I think it's definitely going to happen, obviously. There's no way they're wrapping this up in the next 2 episodes, so that's cool to know, and kind of I think we've gotten kind of an idea of where it's going and where it will probably likely end. Really liked the stuff at the end there where, you know, they were talking about the name of the dojo and Danny and Johnny coming forward and saying, you know, what they did there. No way I'm going to be able to paraphrase it off the top of my head. But I thought that was really cool, really well put. It's kind of what is going on in the overall show. Everybody's coming together. All the differences have been mended with all the main characters that we like. Pretty cool. And did anybody else notice, where's Dimitri? Where the heck did he go? I don't think he was helping them with the egg. They kind of gave like the smart person role to Anthony LaRusso. And he wasn't like one of the fighters. Where did Dimitri go? Did I miss something with that? I mean, I guess he was doing the Geek Squad thing or the Nerd Squad thing for Johnny in the other episode. But where the heck did he go? Maybe I missed something there. But anyway, man, I'm really loving this season so far. I can't wait to see what happens in the next 2 episodes, and can't wait to hear what you guys have to say. Talk to you next time.
Dimitri was there. He wrapped up his egg in his little pouch thing and tied it with and a shoelace, and then Chosen threw a knife through it.
Bragging about it, yeah.
Knife to the egg.
Lonely bird.
Yeah, I'm starting to see that, this they could take this tournament thing to for an entire season, I suppose. Oh, huh? Yeah.
And he said it could be an ending. And I think, oh, yeah, that sounds like it could be. I mean, I would think and also, and mostly hope that if the series ends the same season that they have this tournament, maybe next season, that they would have an epilogue, maybe a whole episode's worth, because I don't want to just end with the tournament. I want to see Johnny take over Cobra Kai again, and I hope that happens. Mm. You know, that'd be cool.
Yeah, there's so many directions it could go.
Mm-hmm. And that makes me think, because if Johnny took over Cobra Kai, of course he would infuse it with his newfound sort of goodness. But what do you think they're going to name their dojo? I thought they were just going to use Miyagi-Do, but Miyagi clearly Fang. Not. Yeah, it might just be that.
Well, they got to figure Fang. It out.
Miyagi Fangdo.
Miyagi Eagle Fangdo. It would. They might come up with a new name, but I think you're right. I think it's probably just going to be Miyagi Fang. All right, we got a call from Steve Brown.
Hello, CKC. This is Steve, and this is going to be for Cobra Kai, episodes 7 and 8. Oh, that's just gross, giving Anthony a swirly and a dirty, nasty ew. Doesn't Daniel have more salesmen than just himself and his wife, Amanda? So Miyagi-Do Karate has opened back up, and all the kids are back training with Anthony.
Hey, Chosen, you got a weird way of training.
You're right, she is just like a Bond villain. Just don't... Why are you poking the bear here between Miguel and Robbie? They just became friends again. Oh, she had such a chance to say pain does not exist in this dojo. She just said pain does not exist. Sure, there's a point to this exercise with the eggs and Chosen, but I don't know what it is yet. Then he just gives up. Where's Sam? Miguel. Harry's just really good at saying the right thing. You guys talked about that already. Getting into Kenny's head, and now we're back to Kreese and Johnny.
Kenny just kicked him in the face. What? What's this guy's Kyler? Is that his name? Whoa, when Kenny just used Kyler's back to kick the sensei.
Scene between the young Terry Silver and John Kreese is only 4 years before Karate Kid 1, and they're really a lot younger than they were in that movie.
Oh, Daniel, playing dirty.
Episode 8,
Karate Adjacent.
That almost had me, Robbie. Good job.
Johnny was going to tell the stories. Strong son, strong sake. A bonding over Rocky Balboa.
Saikai, how do they say it? Is it for adults or for kids or like the All Valley under 18, which nobody was ever under 18? What's Tori going to do now, or are they going to pick somebody else to fight for Cobra Kai female?
Is that the necklace that Miguel threw away the last episode?
This fight between Kenny and Hawk is another paid off ref. What's the committee going to do now? The split fights.
Kind of saw that coming, that they were both going to be, now they're both going to go overseas.
No, Sam is going to see Miguel with the other girl, and that's all she wrote. All right, talk to you next week.
Steve's like a one-man podcast. I know. Does he send him in like that, or do you edit him down?
He edits them, I think.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Good job. And he forgot to send one in last week, but he sent it to me, so I'm going to play it now. This is for episodes 5 and 6, the ones we thought were really good.
Hello, CKC. This is Steve, and this is going to be for Cobra Kai season whatever it is, episode 5 and 6. Ooh, looks like Stingray's back from the hospital. The Olive Garden is the birthplace of, what did he say? Italian? Oh, gosh. The birthplace of culinary delights, culminating with a chocolate lasagna. You were just talking about this. Isn't that Robin Lively? Is that Amanda's cousin? And she's brought mac and cheese. Know what I like. And Johnny's using young guns. I love it. And you just lost your head again with Stingray. And now where are you going? And now we're finding out that Amanda used to be a hothead? Okay, how is Johnny the sane one in this situation with Daniel? And now Amanda's finding out the truth from Jessica Andrews. Now Anthony is finding out the truth from Sam, or Sam's finding the truth about from Anthony about Robbie. So now Robbie and Miguel are going to work their aggressions out right here at the Reseda Inn. What's the name of the apartment complex? Oh no, things are going to go too far. Now they're on the second story. Oh, Johnny, you just said the baby. Are we going to get Terry Silver going full Terry Silver here at the end of episode 5? Tori's talking to Kreese, isn't she? Episode 6 starts with Silver, assembling his new crew? He's the friends, the granddaughter of his original master. Oh, so Daniel's just giving up? Oh, Joseph, I come with you. And Amanda, that's not at all what I meant. It's an interesting session with the shrink here in prison with Kreese, where he's talking to the people from his past, even Tori. Wow, and a young Johnny.
Oh, I love the callback chosen. Too much.
Not sure what happened there, but too much advantage. Their dojo. And then, gosh, that scene with Chosen, Amanda, Johnny, and Sam around the table. I got choked up a little bit.
That's an interesting choice, changing from Martin Cove to the younger John Kreese actor for this fight scene.
Wow, that ending. Whew, I can't wait for the rest of the series. Now I got to wait to watch the next two.
Man, those were some good episodes.
Thanks for waiting, Steve. That's some dedication, man.
Yeah.
All right. That is our show. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. One more to go. If you want to write in or send us a message about the final two episodes or the season as a whole or the series as a whole, you can find all our contact information at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows.
Yeah.
So many.
We just wrapped up Lock and Key.
Got a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Probably shouldn't even talk about that one. It's over. What's one I never mention? I don't know. Rings of Power. I'm going to go edit that tonight. Anwen has been amazing on that podcast, just going so in depth great. About the lore of the Lord of the Rings and how it relates to the show and stuff.
See, that's awesome. Yeah. Because I'm gonna have to listen to that because I'm kind of lost. I mean, I've only watched the first two and I've been trying to.
Yeah, you should listen.
I've been so busy with the wedding stuff. I'm trying to wait to watch the rest of them, but they're long.
This week's was really good. Yeah. You're going
to
love
it. You got to like set aside time to watch this thing and process it, you know?
Yeah, and you got to watch it. You can't just like fidget in the background or something. You got to watch it. Yeah.
And Anwen's from New Zealand, so she's like actually was an extra
in
one of the Lord of the Rings, and she's worked on the tours of the sites and stuff.
She knows people that's worked on it and does things, and she's just a wealth. I mean, she's fantastic anyway, but just like at this wealth of knowledge about the lore, and she really just enhances the experience. So I'd highly recommend it as a companion to the show to help understand.
She has a Kiwi accent.
She has a Kiwi accent.
The best.
Okay, I'm there.
The best. Yeah. Well, if you're listening to this on House Podcastica, we'd love it if you'd subscribe to the standalone version, Cobra Kai Cast, which has all of our Cobra Kai coverage.
Thank you, everybody.
All five seasons.
Thank you in advance.
Yeah, that's right. Plus the movies.
The movies.
Karate Kid 1, 2, and 3.
Except for 4. We're not doing it. Don't say all of them.
Most of them. All the ones that matter. Next episode, Cobra Kai, Season 5, Episode 9 and 10, Survivors, and Head of the Snake. So we wrap up our coverage of the season, and that one will come out a little earlier since Richard's daughter is getting married next weekend. We bumped up our recording date to this Wednesday. So if you want to give us feedback, you have to do it pretty quick. All right. That's our show.
Thanks for listening.
If we can change and you can change, everybody can change.
I came here tonight. I didn't know what to expect. I seen a lot of people hating me. And I didn't know what to feel about that, so I guess I didn't like you much none either.
Я думаю, что я не любил их тоже.
During this fight, I seen a lot of changing.
В течение всего этого боя я понял, что многое изменилось.
The way you felt about me and the way I felt about you.
И я почувствовал, что вы тоже изменились.
In here, there were two guys killing each other. But I guess that's better than 20 million.
То я думаю, что это лучше, чем даже 20 миллионов долларов.
So what I'm trying to say is that if I can change,
я думаю, что каждый тоже изменился сегодня.
And you can change.
Вы можете измениться.
Everybody can change.
Каждый может измениться.
I just want to say one thing to my kid who should be home sleeping. Merry Christmas, kid!
You see what you got is just pop! Fight it!
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.